This episode of Transmissions is dedicated to the memory of Jeremy's dad, Tommy Dennis, who passed away on February 3rd, 2015. Please keep Jeremy and his family in your thoughts and prayers.
Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all news, toys, and comic books related to the Transformers! On this exciting episode of Transmissions, Daryl talks about Bad Cube's Claymore, Hypno, and Kickbutt during our toys segment. Charles reviews IDW's Transformers Not RID issues 36 and 37 during comics. And Jeremy tells you how you can score a copy of the Transformers Age of Extinction movie score during movie news. So prepare your ear holes, everyone. We're about to start Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that has found the enigma of combination. And it's us! I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C. And I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Yusuf, better known as Yoshi, also known as the left leg.
I don't get it.
Okay. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko, right arm?
Yay, activate interlocks. Dinotherms connected.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian beast, the head.
Oh, yeah. That's just what I like to be. Oh, no.
You were trying so hard not to make this dirty, Charles. You just facepalm that motherfucker.
I think I screwed that up. Let's talk Transformers, everyone. Fuck.
All right. Well, we do have a really special announcement before we get into the rest of the show. So, Jeremy, what is our announcement?
We are starting a Patreon. And if you haven't heard of the site, it's kind of like Kickstarter, except it's more for supporting people that are trying to do something. And a lot of podcasts have started doing this to raise money to help support the podcast. And we decided we wanted to try our hand at it just to see if we can have help with, you know, equipment upgrades, like getting better mics and whatnot, or hosting costs for the website. Or one of the big goals that we have is to help fund getting all of us in the same physical place at the same time to maybe do a live recording or something. So this isn't going to mean that we're going to start charging for our shows or not or anything like that. But we have set up a couple rewards. If you want to see this, you can go to bit.ly/helptrns. And we've set up goals for $2 a month, which would give you a little state of the transmission email that we'll discuss things that are coming up. We might reveal like interviews we have lined up that we normally don't talk about until it happens, or we'll solicit feedback directly. And since you're contributing, you might have better chance at seeing like an idea you have show up on the show. And then we have a $5 level that will get access. We'll start doing a monthly Google Hangout with the people at that level where everyone can be on the show. And then we'll later release that as its own episode, but people at that level can actually participate. And I mean, we might add more rewards as we get more used to this, but we're starting out slow. But we aren't trying to force this on anybody, but just if you have the means and want to support, you know, we would love it if you did. If you can't do it, then, I mean, don't feel bad. Tell people about the show, continue to give us feedback, continue to, you know, rate the shows. All of those also help the show. But this is just something, you know, we want to take the podcast, you know, to the next level, and we'd like some help trying to do that.
Yeah. And like, we're not asking for a lot of money. I mean, if you have an extra two or a couple of bucks every month.
Well, and you don't even have to donate, though. You can donate at any amount that you want.
Yeah, that's true.
These are just levels that we've created. So if you want to do a quarter a month, you can do a quarter a month.
Think of the children.
That I may cry.
Yeah.
Just think about all the Value Village stuff that Daryl can buy with some more money.
That's not what this is for. I want to make that clear. Yeah. This is, I have my own money. This is other money.
You are not funding our toy habits or comic habits.
No. Right. This is all going back into the show, buying better equipment, buying, software, helping with hosting stuff.
Yeah,
software, trying to maybe get help with editing the show. But like I said, the big goal that we have is if it can help fund getting all of us to a BotCon or a TFCon, that would make it that much more likely that it would happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, click on that link. We'll have a link in the show notes to our Patreon, or Patreon, I should say, page there. And if you can help us out, that'd be great. We would really appreciate it. Of course, you will go on the list. You will go to the top of Yoshi's list, and we will.
You speaking for me again?
Are you not putting them on the list?
Of course I'll put them at the top of the list. Of course. And, you know, if they've got ideas for things that they'd like to see on the Patreon page, they should let us know.
Yeah.
We'll happily consider it.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the show at all. Everything is still going as it was before. So thank you for continuing to listen. And if you can help us out, we'd appreciate it. But if you can't, don't worry about it and keep listening.
And just keep going to your friends' computers and rating us on iTunes.
All right, so on with the show. And as we do, we will start off with toys. And Daryl, what do you have for us?
Well, I got something that came out like a couple days ago. And this thing seemed to come out of left field because I had no idea that this thing was even a thought. Unique Toys has developed a prototype calling it Provider, and this is Octane from G1. And these, if you remember, Octane is the triple changer that transforms from the robot to the jumbo jet to the tractor trailer with the gas tank on the back.
Fuel tanker,
right, sure. I had no idea that this thing was even thought about. And I'm looking at the pictures here and it looks really, really good. I really like how, if you're looking at the back picture, you see that the engines for the jumbo jet are also the tires for the truck. I really like how they've made use of that. And all modes, every single one of these modes looks fantastic. I really like the jumbo jet mode. It's got to be difficult to make a cylindrical object out of something so blocky. What do you guys think of this?
This looks great. I mean, I have the G1 Octane, and he is kind of a mess.
Yeah.
So this looks like a really cool update. I really like how they have folded both modes together. I mean, it's really amazing how they can pack that fuel tanker mode and then turn that into a jumbo jet. And then on top of that, have the robot mode. I don't see any robot kibble on the fuel tanker or the jet modes. So that's pretty cool. Maybe if they turn it over, it's all there, but it looks great.
You also don't see much of the truck anywhere in robot or plane mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
This is definitely a step forward in what I'm going to coin toy engineering. Although I'm going to be that guy. It does seem like in the tanker truck mode and the jet mode that even though things are awesomely and gnarly cylindrical, they're, and maybe it's just because we're looking at a prototype, but it doesn't look like it fits 100%. It's more like 99%.
You're talking about
like the lines, the seams?
Right.
Yeah. Basically in the fuselage of the jet and the middle point in the truck, it's just like it almost looks like there's a bend in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's probably more than it's a prototype.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it would be remiss for me not to point that out since it did stick out to me.
Right.
But it looks like a gorgeous figure. And Daryl's right. There's some really cool tricks they did to hide pieces and show pieces.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, it cannot be easy to make a cylinder shape out of robot kibble. So, yeah, I think this looks amazing. We do actually have prices on it. So Big Bad Toy Store has put up a pre-order for this guy at $119.99. TF Source is very similar at $119.95. The biggest discount is going to be at Robot Kingdom, where you're going to see it at $89.90, but you're going to get a heavy, heavy shipping price from them. So it's a little bit pricey, but, you know what? It's pretty cool. We got an expected date of March. So they are well ahead of, you know, where we would have figured they would be, from a first release on this thing, but, looks pretty cool. I say, I think it, it's definitely one of those things that if third party are going to start getting into the triple changer market, I'm going to start paying a little bit more attention to them. I got another one for you. Bad Cube. These guys, hot on the heels of releasing the prototype images of their War Dog, their Warpath figure, have released yet another series of figures. This is their Claymore Hypno and Kick Butt figures. This is their Masterpiece style Insecticons. And these are, again, these are just prototype images, but they do show artist renditions of their, what I was going to assume are their collector cards. And then they'd show pictures of them in their alt modes as well. And these guys look fantastic. Very good interpretations of G1 Insecticons. And it'll be interesting to see how big they are, because we've got the Legends class guys that are coming out right now, and we've got the re-release of the G1. So if these guys are bigger than that, then there's possibly a pretty good market for them. I know that people that would probably much rather have the G1 than a super expensive third-party set. But it'll be interesting to see what size class these guys end up being. What do you guys think of these?
They look pretty sweet. I have to say, Claymore is an awesome name. I mean, if you think about the, you know, the explosive that the military uses.
Right.
Why have we never seen that name being used before?
I don't know. I particularly like Kick Butt.
Yeah.
Me, Grimlock, Kick Butt.
And these guys look really good, though. I would imagine they're going to be at least the deluxe size.
Yeah.
Well, if they're Masterpiece style, maybe they'll be in scale with the other Masterpiece figures.
Well, if you recall, they did the Bad or the War Dog. He's in scale with the Datsun brothers. So these guys may be bigger than we think they are.
Mm-hmm. I am interested in seeing how they're going to look painted and everything, and then, yeah, maybe they'll have some more pictures with them with other Masterpiece figures so you can tell what their size is.
Mm-hmm.
But they look really good.
Mm-hmm. Yosh?
Charles, that was an amazing Grimlock. And Daryl, I'm going to steal a comment here from RoboGeek on the thread. Oh, my. These look good. These look real good.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they're going to be less expensive than that $80, you know, reissue at Kmart.
Even if they're the same price, that's still a hell of a deal.
I don't think they're going to be less expensive, though. Maybe one of them will be $80 for all three.
Well, I think they'll probably sell them as a three-pack. But I'm probably guessing that the entire three-pack will probably be between $150 and $200.
I think if you can get all three for $150, it's probably still, like Yoshi said, it's a better deal in terms of what you're getting. yeah. than the $80 reissue.
That's yeah. true.
And look at that. I'm saying that something third party is better than mainline.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I had for you today.
All right. Jeremy, you're next.
I think Daryl screwed something up because my list is longer than his.
That's what she said.
Oh, Canadian burn.
I think I burned myself on that one, actually. I'm sorry, Daryl. It's okay, Daryl.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
All right. Well, so there was an event in Hong Kong, like a recent toy show there. And we have a few details on the upcoming Titan Class Devastator, some G1 reissues, and 2015 Masterpiece info. And so the TFW page here actually lists the Chinese, and then they one of the Cybertron.ca members actually translated it for them. So there's going to be an Encore version or Platinum Triptychon, Coneheads, Blitzwing, or a Blitzwing and Astro Train bundle, Perceptor and Blaster bundle. And, you know, I think in the last issue when we were talking about the Triptychon, I was confused and I was thinking Masterpiece. But reissuing a G1 Triptychon, I think, is a very smart idea because so many of them have been ruined by, like, battery leakage. I think there's a market right there, plus people that will just be getting into it. What do you guys think of these?
I'm all for it. The only issue I'm going to have with it is if they, with them releasing it under the Platinum banner, the price markup on these things is going to be ridiculous. I mean, we've seen it already with the Insecticons, that something that should be around 40, 50 bucks is going to be 80 to 100. So, you know, this Triptychon is probably going to be $1,000. And, you know, that's just, I don't know. I really am excited to see these things come out on the shelves again. You know, it's going to be a huge nostalgia flashback for me to walk through a Toys R Us or, you know, wherever they end up going and seeing G1 figures on the shelves again. That'll be a huge trip, but, it'll bring me right back down to earth when I see the prices, I'm sure.
Yeah. Getting the Coneheads, Blitzwing, Astro Train, Perceptor, and Blaster, you can start like reenacting some of the beginning of the Transformers movie scenes. I think all those guys were in there.
Yeah, I think this is heaven for Yoshi. Lots of reissues.
Dude,
here.
I have to start budgeting. I really have to start budgeting. You know, and since we mentioned the reissue Insecticons, I've been looking for the last reissue on eBay, and they are not very much cheaper.
But I think, weren't the last reissue the deluxe Insecticons?
They were the G1 mold.
Well, but there was the original Insecticons, then the deluxe Insecticons, which were better.
Oh, I guess I don't know.
So
whatever the reissue was in the late 90s.
The deluxe Insecticons would be the like more colorful ones, not just the black and purple ones. They look more like real bugs.
Oh, no, these look like the ones from when I was little, these reissues I was looking at.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll be corrected. Matthew's out there listening, but
yeah.
But you know, for as much as that they're charging for even those, you know, and if I'm going to spend that same price, I might as well get the newer ones and have those Energon cubes.
Mhm.
Yeah. All right. We have more from this event. They had information about what they're saying is IDW Devastator, and it is Titan class. And the translation here says, but because it's facing all the age groups, no single robot's transformation is not much. I guess the individual robot's transformation is going to suffer at the expense of having the whole Titan class figure. The version that they actually demoed there was a handmade, unfinished product. And they also said a Defensor will be revealed in late 2015. But they only showed Hotspot, and the quality they said was so-so. And then the scout class figure is going to have Warpath.
Hmm. So what they showed off was a handmade Devastator.
Yeah, when Hasbro makes when they make the toys, the first version is actually handmade.
So what were we seeing in the background of those Hasbro videos that were showing off the first combiners?
I think those were G1 Devastators. I don't
you
think so?
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe they're a third party.
No idea. They were too blurry to make out.
They were green. It was a green big-ass bot is what it was.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe after these come out, they'll release a version that was unblurred. All right, the last bit of news from this event is they say that this year they're going to release 5 Masterpiece figures. Let's see. It doesn't... I don't think it lists them all. There's going to be probably going to be a Trax Ironhide, possibly Blaster.
And I think Blaster is the accessory that comes with Trax, like tape deck Blaster.
Right, okay. So they don't really mention any of the figures besides Trax and Ironhide here. So, you know, if we're getting Ironhide, eventually we're going to be getting Ratchet, which is going to be good. Trax, what other characters shared his car?
No one.
Nah, he was a Corvette, but he did have the, because I remember when we were talking about it with the Wheeljack mold, that if whoever had the front hood of the car as the feet could possibly make the Trax, like the Trax mold as well. So, I speculated that we would probably get a Trax out of the Wheeljack, remold, of course, but yeah. So
the skeleton would be the same.
Yeah. So if you can think of anybody else who has that hood of the car become their feet, then you could probably get a heavy remold out of that as well.
Sunstreaker?
Maybe. That'd be interesting because it essentially looks the same as Sideswipe.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have to design exactly the same looking on the outside, but completely different transformation.
Yeah.
That would be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And they'll probably have the license still.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to delete the eBay app from my phone now. And I'm just not going to sit in the next few trips to the stores, guys.
All right. Well, that is all I have from that item. The next thing I have is Combiner Wars Legends Skywarp and Rodimus revealed. The Hasbro Germany and Spain sites updated and revealed these things. And these are the small Legends-sized figures. And because they're Combiner Wars, the Rodimus can fit into the chest of the big Prime. It looks like the Skywarp is just a repaint of Starscream.
Yeah, we knew Skywarp was coming. So this isn't much of a surprise. The Rodimus is a big surprise. I mean, we kind of had a theory from the last week or week before when we got a glimpse of him in a piece of art. But yeah. I think I said it last week that I'm a little disappointed that this is the only Rodimus we might be getting. Because I think he's a bot deserving of a bigger figure. But, you know. Whatever.
I saw Proto Man post on Twitter today that this is obvious, just like we need to keep the name type release.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a remold of the Blackjack figure, and it doesn't really do Rodimus justice at all. No. At least in robot mode. I mean, the car mode looks okay, I guess. Robot mode just because the transformation is different. It's like, it's not how Rodimus, you know, normally would look. You know, his chest is supposed to be the hood of the car, and for this figure, his chest is the passenger
the window,
the passenger window, yeah. So it doesn't look right at all.
Well, I mean, even in the art that they have next to it, you see the flames on the chest,
right?
Yeah.
So, and let's see, the last bits I have are Combiner Wars Deluxe and Legend Class figures are released in Canada.
Hells yeah.
And I think, Daryl, you said that you found, like, your stores have it, but they were out at the time that you went.
Yeah. Yeah, the word got spread to me that the Toys R Us's in my area were starting to stock them. And I went on a bit of a hunt and came up empty-handed, but left with a fistful of rain checks because Transformers are on sale currently. So I will be back to claim my sale price.
That's pretty smart. I think a lot of people might not think about rain checks when they go hunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to think about those.
Especially if there's a sale going on.
Yeah.
And then we also have notes that Italy is getting Combiner Wars, and this is the first time since 2010 that New Generations figures have been released in Italy. So if we have any listeners over there, you know, go hunting.
Congratulations, Italy.
Yeah, looks like €17 for Legends, €27 for Deluxe, and €35 for Voyagers.
Euro? Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's like $50 for a Voyager.
Yeah, well,
import them from somewhere else, money. Italy.
Yeah, go get them from the UK.
Yeah.
And the last thing I have is T-Formers had a page where there's a rumor that Combiner Wars Wave 1 is going to be re-released with the comics. And we know Wave 2 is coming with the comics, but Wave 1 didn't. And I think that maybe because the movie stuff hadn't sold as well and Hasbro wanted to get something out in the stores, they just rushed Wave 1 before the comics were ready. And that might be one that they're going to get a re-release.
Sounds plausible.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Not that it makes any difference to me at all.
Yeah, you're still going to get screwed either way.
Yep.
So you probably won't even get the re-release of the Wave.
Nope. Comics? What comics?
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got.
All right. Let's move on to Yoshi.
Yay!
The star of the show.
Yes. Let's just quit denying it and move on. So I've got a link to some new masterpiece pictures of G2 Bumblebee. And what's interesting about these pictures is it shows him with the jetpack on his back. This is going to be one of the pieces that's new if you buy this particular version of the masterpiece Bumblebee. He's got the goldy paint, the shiny reflective gold paint from the G2 toy, and he's got a jetpack. So that's awesome. And the same link also shows off some new pictures of Takara Legends Megatron. And, you know, he's pretty badass looking. You almost would think he looks like his original G1 piece. His gun's a little smaller, and you'd have to ignore the tank treads behind him. But he looks good.
And with Takara, you know it's going to be nice, shiny paint.
Yes. You want to pet it and touch it and just crush it.
You know, with the Bumblebee and the jetpack, where that jetpack attaches is probably where the spare tire attaches on the Bumblebee. So the parts are already there. They didn't have to like remold it to get it to attach.
Good to know.
The way they have this Megatron posed really makes me want to see what a G2 version would look like.
Seriously.
I know we're getting Armada Megatron in the same mold, but I gotta believe they're gonna do a G2 Megatron at some point. Like, it seems like it'd be an obvious repaint.
Too bad there's no electronics in this one.
Daryl, you're the grandmaster of toys. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, these are pretty cool.
You're lost for words. You're so blown away.
Yeah, no, it's I'm struggling to remember which episode Bumblebee had the jetpack in.
Dinobot Island.
There you go. Okay, good.
God damn it, Charles.
You shouldn't wonder. You should just say, Charles, what episode did he have the jetpack?
Yes. I'm also thinking that this new Megatron may not photograph overly well. It just, you know, it seems to look odd to me. I'm looking at it thinking its legs look really skinny and his arms look really fat. And You know, I'm just thinking that maybe I'm looking at it too critically, but yeah, I don't know. I'm picking one up. I know I am, but I'm just looking at it. You know,
you should also take into account the fact that PR people are notoriously bad at transforming.
I like the pose it's in though. You know, I'm getting really judgy and I probably shouldn't do that.
When and if they eventually repaint this to look like G2 Megatron, I want it to come with a really, really small, who's the G.I. Joe villain?
Cobra Commander?
Cobra Commander that fits in his hand. So we can all redo the comic book page. That's so we can awesome. Pose him like the comic book page.
See, I think the G2 Deco would look really good in alt mode, but in robot mode, I don't think it would be as nice. Because the G2 has the humongous chest plate, right, sticking out super duper far from his face. And yeah, I know we're not able to remake the toy again, right? It's not going to be the same. But that part of the toy, the original G2, really is a defining characteristic for that figure.
I agree. I was trying not to be negative.
All right, gotcha.
But think about what they could do with a new face mold to match the G2 art.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that with the Masterpiece the G2 Sideswipe.
Okay, it's true. Yeah. Snarling face.
Yeah, the Derek Yeager art.
Cool.
All right. Next, Daryl gave me a link just to fuck with me. Masterminds Creations Felizabar.
Felisaber.
Felisaber. I like Felisabar. What is this, Daryl? What am I looking at?
This is the optional sixth member of their Feral Rex, their Predaking.
Oh, okay.
So if you've already bought all five Predacons and you don't like that the two arms are not symmetrical, you can get this guy to replace the dive bomb arm with this guy so that you have two tiger arms and then I guess the two legs are a rhino and
bull.
Bull, yeah.
Yeah, but they're very symmetrical as well.
Yeah.
I have a question.
You mentioned lion arms and Jeremy's now has a question. I wonder what it is.
No, it has nothing to do with that. If you look at image number 6 on this page.
Yeah.
Why do they have it posed next to a little military uniform?
I don't know.
Inquiring minds, Daryl.
Is it for scale or is it? Can he wear the little military uniform and be like a little, you know, robot dictator?
I don't know.
And what is that for? Like a GI, like a the 12-inch GI Joe dolls? What is that uniform for?
He doesn't know, man. Give him a break.
In my head, this is the guy that was kicked out of the team because he was the little Baghdad Bob that was like, you know, just like everything is fine, everything is fine, and everything's just blowing up around him. Like you're a moron. Go.
The figure looks good, though.
I think it does. I like the. I like it. It's solid. Everybody go out and buy two.
Do you have Feral Rex, Daryl?
No. No. My buddy Dog Cates has them, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
On your wish list?
It is. Yes. Right. It's one of those things that I'd really love to pick up because it looks amazing.
Yeah. I think Josh Burcham also has Feral Rex. He showed it off in trips to the store. Josh and Dog Cates, write in. Let us know if you're picking up this guy, too, this Fella Saber guy.
Mm-hmm. You know Dog Cades is going to get it.
I don't know if he is. He seems to pretty much be set with it as a five-piece.
He doesn't want the sixth Beetle.
No. No.
Okay.
But I don't want to speak for him. He may. He may do it.
Right. Well, that's what I got. Thanks for Daryl's help. What do you got, Charles?
All right. So first, I've got a little bit of a rumor. So we've got some Generations Legends coming up for 2015. Looks like we might be getting Gnaw and Brawn as Legends figures this year. It looks like someone of someone from Ozformers Blood Bidoof Dude of Ozformers.com wrote to Hasbro and asked if we were going to get the Gnaw and Brawn figures. And apparently someone at Hasbro responded to him and said that there are plans for these characters, distribution of these characters in 2015. Unfortunately, I do not have an exact date of arrival. So if you're looking for a little tiny Sharkticon and Brawn, they're coming, apparently.
What a novel idea. Ask the toy company when we got a question. Maybe they can answer the question about the comics in the figures, Jeremy.
Okay, well, someone go and ask.
And there's the crux of the problem. We want other people to post rumors for us to read.
It's funny.
I wonder if the email address is easy to find.
Probably just a contact, customer service or something like that.
Who knows? Maybe I'll give it a shot.
Maybe the Australian Hasbro division is more forthcoming than the U.S. one. One thing I noticed that further down in the thread, people are speculating about where Brawn is coming from, and someone has a close-up shot of the Gears Legends figure that was released last year, who was a remold of Swerve. And you can see Gears' head looks very Brawn-like.
True.
So, oh, yeah, you can definitely see that.
So maybe Brawn would be a retool of the same mold.
The email did say that, we knew these were coming out, but they weren't released. So it looks like they were pulled and they're going to be put into Combiner Wars.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also in the thread, someone mentions that, like, when we looked at that, remember that big leaked list of toys from early last year in 2014 that we talked about?
With the Rocky names?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so large.
And so one of those names was Hardhead. We never saw a Hardhead figure last year.
That's true, too.
So maybe that's on the horizon, too.
We should go back to that list and check off the stuff and make sure
that
we've got it all.
Would Roadbuster be a good candidate for a repaint into Hardhead?
Roadbuster was more of a tank, wasn't he? Or with wheels?
No, Roadbuster was like a... you have Roadbuster,
don't you? I have Roadbuster, but Hardhead. What was Hardhead's alt mode? Wasn't he like a tank with wheels kind of thing?
Yeah, Hardhead was like a futuristic tank with a giant cannon on it.
Yeah, was what I was saying. I know what Roadbuster is.
Well, you said Roadbuster. That's why I was confused. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Edit that out.
Anytime you want to edit, sure.
Says the guy who also doesn't edit.
Hey, as soon as I do a clusterfuck of a fuck up, my wife's just going to have to eat it so I can do the editing.
Anyway, you guys all knew what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but back to this. I mean, Toy Fair is coming up in a few weeks, so we should have a lot of news then.
Damn right. Yeah.
It might be even, like, by the time this show goes up, it might be even next week.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty damn excited. Don't believe anything we've said
in this episode.
I'm pretty excited about Toy Fair.
All right, next, from Takara, we have some news about what they're doing with Combiner Wars. So they are calling their version of Combiner Wars Unite Warriors, and UW-01 is Superion. And you know how we got this weird Alpha Bravo dude in place of Slingshot for our Combiner Wars Superion? Looks like the Takara guys are just giving him Slingshot.
What?
What?
So, I mean, he's basically a remold of Fireflight, but it's Slingshot with a Slingshot head. You know, a completely new head. Looks just like the cartoon Slingshot. The art, the paint deco looks very Slingshotty to me. It looks pretty good, even if it's just a remold of the Fireflight toy, but it looks really good. And there you go. So all those people who are complaining about Slingshot, we're getting Slingshot. Well, we're not getting Slingshot, I guess. Well, Japanese.
I think we are.
Well, hey, hold on.
Jesus, Jeremy.
Don't jump the gun.
Sorry. I will say that the black paint really does help with the color of Superion. Because with Alpha Bravo, it was just a lot of white on that figure.
Yeah, I mean, and I really, I mean, I'm kind of surprised. I thought there was some, well, maybe it was just they wanted some additional variety on the Aerial Bots, why they released this Alpha Bravo, you know, as a helicopter just to break up the monotony of all jets. And I guess, you know, they're remolding.
They're probably also, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say I think they basically have two deluxe jet types and they remolded them. So instead of, you know, doing four different models, they're just doing two. So
they're probably also not going by the same fiction that the US is going by. So there's no need for Alpha Bravo. I mean, we'll definitely have that mold as parts of other combiners, but there's no need to have the helicopter in Superion.
Right. And as Jeremy might have mentioned, additionally, we got a little bit of... So the other thing that I should say about the Unite Warriors and Dakar is that they're coming out as a gift set. So it doesn't look like they're releasing the individual Deluxes and Voyager separately. So you have to collect them. They're just giving you the set of all five. So it looked like we were in really big trouble because if you really wanted the G1 representation of Slingshot and you don't get it in the US, you would have to pony up for the whole gift set from Takara if you had already bought like all the Hasbro versions of the figures. But thankfully, we got another rumor from a Toys R Us listing that looks like Slingshot and Wild Rider are going to be released in the US as well.
That's awesome.
So Wild Rider, I guess who was the figure that replaced Wild Rider in the Stunicons? It was a different name. It was, I forget, but it looks like Wild Rider will probably be just a remold of the Breakdown to match the, you know, the G1 characters. So for those purists who want all, you know, G1 homages to all your Combiner Wars figures, you will be able to get that.
That's all we're asking for.
And it's a Toys R Us, so it'll be about $50.
It is listed as $16.99, so it's the same price as the other Combiner Wars figures. So, although, you know,
$50.
One thing this made me think of, though, is that third party group that's making their own Slingshot, they are hosed.
Yes.
I still think that's part of Hasbro's grand plan is seeing what third-party companies are doing, and then instead of suing them, they're just going to undercut them and make their own version for cheap.
Yeah. Have we heard any? Didn't we see a prototype at some point a couple months ago?
It was just like a silhouette.
Okay.
I don't think that we ever saw a prototype, but it was Bezel Boss was the company.
Okay.
And yeah, we haven't heard anything from them since. Perhaps they heard about it and shut it down.
Yeah, this looks like their market was pretty much dried up with this announcement. But yeah, so that's all I got. And I guess that'll do it for toys this week. So we will move on to comics. All right, so we have a couple of reviews this week. No, not a classics review, sorry. But we're a little bit behind in our regular IDW reviews, so we're going to try an experiment and see if we can power through two issues of Transformers Not R.I.D. in one show. What do you think? You guys think we can do it?
Yes.
Cautiously optimistic.
All right, you guys fill me with confidence. Anyway.
You can do it!
Before we get into the review, we did get some information about April 2015 solicits for Transformers comics coming up. So, as always, we will not give any spoilers for the solicitations. They do give some brief summaries, and all the covers are revealed, or several covers are revealed. I guess the regular and the subscription variants. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. You can check that out for yourself, but there are spoilers. Even spoilers.
If you visit any Transformers website or Facebook, you have seen the covers because they post it and they don't care about spoilers.
That's probably true.
Those fucks.
We won't do that.
Move my soapbox.
Anyway, so there's not really any surprises here. We have Transformers number 40. That will be Combiner Wars Part 2. Windblade number 2, and that is Combiner Wars Part 3. More Than Meets the Eye number 40. Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 8. And also, there's a collection coming out, which is Transformers Volume 7, Combiner Wars First Strike. And that collects issues 33 to 38 of the Not R.I.D. ongoing. Which is interesting because currently the comics are listed, their tagline is listed as Days of Deception. So it looks like they're doing, you know, big marketing push with Combiner Wars, they've kind of rebranded these issues to as the prelude to Combiner Wars, which they kind of are pretty much. So there you go. That's what you can expect in April. All
Maybe
right.
Some showers.
Yes. Followed by May flowers.
There you go. And then May 1st is Avengers 2. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. All right. So without further ado, let's get into some reviews. So we're a little bit behind. We've got a couple of things on our plate. So we're going to dive right into Transformers, Not R.I.D. And this is issues number 36, which was released in December, and then issue 37, which was released in January. And these are parts 2 and 3 of the Onyx Interface storyline, which is continuing Prowl's hunt for Spike and the Enigma of Combination, also known as MacGuffin Part 2. All right, so starting off, let's start with Transformers number 36. And this has... this is written by John Barber, art by Andrew Griffith and Brendan Cahill. So Brendan Cahill helped out for a couple of pages. We have colors by Josh Perez and Joanna LaFuente, letters by Tom B. Long, and edited by Carlos Guzman. And we have three covers. So this was released in December, so this is the last of the 30th anniversary covers for the retailer incentive. So we've got the regular cover. That is a kind of a montage of Spike and Jimmy Pink on motorcycles with Decepticon insignias. That's a really nice spoiler for the inside of the issue, being chased by Prowl in the car mode, in his, you know, SUV police car mode. And then you have Marissa Fairborn above them, kind of as a, in the background. And that is art by Andrew Griffith and colors by Josh Perez. The subscription cover is in the foreground. You have Spike in a stealthy scene in the forest with Prowl about to step on him in behind. And that's art by Casey Collar and colors by Joanna LaFuente. And then the retailer incentive, as I mentioned, is the 30th anniversary cover with lots of different Transformers for all different eras. Prime is very prominent there holding the Matrix. You've got Transformers Prime Arachnid in the foreground fighting IDWRC.
And I think it combines with the More Than Meets the Eye 36 cover.
Yes, that's right. And this is art by Alex Milne and colors by Josh Perez. So, Jeremy, which is your favorite cover here?
This is hard because I'm not really a huge fan of any of them.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I purchased the subscription because that's what I get, but I think if I had to pick any of them, it would probably be the retail, just for all the, like, there is a lot of colors and a lot of, I don't know, motion that I can see in that image.
Yeah.
But I don't know, none of them really just kind of screams by me.
I am kind of annoyed at the regular cover because it gives away a huge spoiler. Like, if you just remove those Decepticon symbols, it would be much
right.
better.
Yeah, I mean, and they do that all the time. Why not do it here?
Yeah. Daryl, what's your favorite cover?
Well, I don't know what the hell Jeremy's talking about, because that 30th anniversary cover is gorgeous. Alex Milne did a fantastic job on that. So if I had the opportunity, that would be the one that I would buy. But because I have a job now and I can no longer go to my comic book store as it opens, I cannot get the RI covers. So I ended up getting the Andrew Griffith cover because it was the other awesome one. So
on the plus side, you're not having to get into fights every week.
That's true. Well, that's beneficial for the other guy because he was taking one hell of a beating every week. But no,
nice save.
Yeah, no, I ended up buying the Andrew Griffith cover because it was I felt it told. I mean, Jeremy pretty much said it. It told more of the story on the cover.
All right, Yoshi, what's your pick?
The Autobot insignia on Optimus Prime on the RI cover loses it for me.
Okay.
The second cover with Spike Spike about to be squashed reminds me of the Man of Iron. But I'm going to go with the first cover.
All right.
A rare thing for me. I like the art in it. I don't feel like it's bad. It's one of the better ones.
Wow.
Yes.
Andrew Griffith, this one is not bad.
I'm taking the one that's not bad. I would love to know if these Japanese writing in the background is actually saying anything.
I was thinking that too. What does it actually say?
Eat it, Joes.
I'm sure it's just city signs and they probably took it from real signs in Tokyo or whatever.
Is possible.
What if it's just an in-joke between one artist to another?
Yeah.
So it could be like Griffith being like, suck it, Milne.
Well, that guy whose podcast I listen to lives in Japan. I could ask him about it. So just send him this page and say, can you translate this for us?
You totally should.
All right, so I'm going to pick the 30th anniversary retailer incentive as well. I really like that cover. I like the image combined with the More Than Meets the Eye retailer incentive. I did get both of those because my comic shop puts them in my pull list. So shout out to Phantom of the Attic, Monroeville.
If you want your comics stamped on Free Comic Book Day, go to Monroeville.
Hey, doesn't stamp my retailer incentive comics.
No.
But and I don't have to fight comics. Anybody. They just show up in my pull list, which
is
nice.
Hey, if you're happy with stamped comics, dude, knock yourself out. That's fine. Nobody's faulting you except me.
All right, Yoshi. All
right, Charles.
Go back to mute.
Done. I'll talk to you guys.
Go back, Yoshi. I didn't mean it.
All right, I'll come back because you asked so nicely.
We see Jeremy is making good use of his soundboard.
If you don't like the soundboard, please send email complaints to Daryl at transmissionspodcast.com. Care of Canagia.
All right, starting off. So, issue 36 starts off with our good friend Thundercracker. And as you might remember, back in issue 32, Thundercracker discovered that the Earth Defense Command is building a secret army of Transformers based on the ramjet and thrust molds. And that led him to mistrust he used to be aligned with the Earth Defense Command because they let him stay on Earth, but now he's having second thoughts about them. And he's out here, and he has called a meeting with Soundwave to discuss this new revelation. While he's waiting for Soundwave to show up, he's telling Buster about his little screenplay with Susan Jurnier. I like how Thundercracker comes to the realization that Josh's boyfriend is in fact a bad name for a character who is the main character's boyfriend. So Soundwave shows up, and Thundercracker has a discussion with him. He asks Soundwave about what the humans are building. And in the course of that conversation, so Thundercracker thought that the Decepticons and the humans were working together on that. But it appears that Soundwave had no idea that the Earth Defense Command was building a secret army of Transformers. So Thundercracker decides not to tell him about it. And so Soundwave tries to make a pitch to bring Thundercracker back to the Decepticons, but Thundercracker says, no, I'm good staying on my own. But Soundwave does give a little warning that you know, don't join up with the Autobots because anyone who follows a Prime is not welcome. And then Thundercracker, of course, gives Soundwave his screenplay to read. He printed out an extra big paper so Soundwave could read it. Robots never heard of USB sticks, apparently. So
maybe this ties in with More Than Meets the Eye, where at this point all the data slugs have been killed.
Maybe. So we cut to, and also I should mention, I think that all this art is done by Brendan Cahill, this scene with Thundercracker and Soundwave. And all the scenes in Tokyo were done by Andrew Griffith. So there's a nice little dichotomy there.
I was going to say that I thought Buster was looking kind of long-eared. He just looks older.
Yeah, I was about to say, he looks definitely looks older than what we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Buster's a girl, by the way, too.
Only you, Charles. Only fucking you.
Well, they do. He does call her a she. One thing that was neat, though, is how he mentions, you know how humans get older really quickly. Kind of, you know, an interesting take on the passage of time to a Transformer.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have the concept of aging, but they I guess Thundercracker regards aging for a Transformer just takes place much more slowly.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so we cut to Japan, and Spike and Jimmy Pink are making contact with someone who works for the Onyx Corporation. So this woman has given Spike an access card that will get them into a facility in Wanmu in China. And apparently there is some very important artifact that GB BlackRock and the Onyx Corporation have there. And Spike wants to get at it. And he's mad because the humans are now working with the Decepticons. And of course, he does not want to, he and Jimmy Pink are, in their mind, fighting the good fight to get all the Cybertronians off the planet. So we get this gives you a little bit of, for people who are not familiar with the older IDW comics, this just gives a little bit of history with Jimmy Pink mentioning that he was used to work with the Autobots. And Spike mentioning he used to as well. One thing also, I do know that this shirt, I did find out that the shirt that Spike has, it says I Heart Tokyo on it. So those characters are for Tokyo. So I did ask Alex that. I didn't ask him about any of the other characters on the comic when he was here. So I should have asked for, but I felt kind of weird saying, can you translate this whole book for me? But anyway. So as they go out, after they get the access card from their contact, and what was her name was Maki. So she gives them the access card. They go out onto the street and they're talking. Spike looks around. He notices a green construction vehicle, a couple of green construction vehicles, and a white and black police vehicle. And he realizes that they are being watched. And Spike decides to start attacking. So the Constructicons transform, say, yeah, we've been made. And Spike tells Jimmy to run. And Prowl also transforms as well. So I like here how at the start of this, Spike thinks that the Constructicons and Prowl are not working together. So when he sees that they're coming after him, he thinks, oh, they'll keep each other busy while we can escape. Not realizing that Prowl and the Constructicons are working together, because of course he wouldn't think, why would Decepticons be working with Autobots? So that's a nice little nod to him not being up on the current status quo of the Prowl working with the Constructicons. So they start running through the city. Prowl is actually kind of acting pretty Decepticon-like here when he's destroying property and buildings. It doesn't really look like he's taking care of what's going on with all the innocent bystanders. As they're chasing Spike and Jimmy, we get back to figuring out how they tracked them down in the first place. And we just get a little flashback that shows that when Prowl had hacked into the Earth Defense Command systems, he was able to get some information about Spike. His father, General Witwicky, was sending him emails, but Spike was not responding, but he was reading them. So apparently when he downloaded the emails that gave a trail of IP addresses that allowed Spike to, or allowed Prowl to track down Spike. And so Prowl took command of Skylynx and took them down to Tokyo. Of course, unbeknownst to him, RC and Sideswipe are watching them leave, and RC borrows Sideswipe's jetpack. And so if you remember the last episode of More Than Meets the Eye, the original G1 cartoon series was the third episode of the cartoon where Prime asks Sideswipe, give me your jetpack. That's kind of the scene here where RC just says, give me your jetpack and I'm leaving. I wonder if that's an homage to that scene.
I'm sure it is.
Gotta be. I do want to point out the irony, I guess it is, of a giant robot destroying Tokyo.
And this flashback scene again, I think, is being drawn by Brendan Cahill. So you can see that all the Tokyo scenes done by Andrew Griffith and all the other scenes done by Brendan Cahill.
Didn't Andrew Griffith and Livio go to Tokyo in the last year?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. So maybe he took a lot of pictures and using that for the signs.
Maybe went twice.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Andrew really fell in love with Tokyo. So yeah, that's this is a bit of a love letter to Tokyo.
Yeah, I imagine this would also be helping sales there, where you know they can see the care that their city is displayed in the comic.
Yeah, because there is a lot of Japanese signage here, and I'm guessing all these characters are authentic here. That someone who knows Japanese could read it.
Nothing says I enjoyed my Japanese vacation than destroying the city with a giant fucking robot.
Oh, come on. I mean, it happens all the time.
They love Godzilla. I get it. That's all right, how you say thank you for your trip, is by destroying it.
So back on Tokyo, as Prowl and the Constructicons are closing in on Spike and Jimmy, RC comes in on with her jetpack and body slams Prowl, and she's like, why are you attacking a human? And Prowl, of course, is like, you don't understand what's going on here. You need to trust me like you used to. And RC says, no, I don't think so. Meanwhile, Jimmy and Spike are trying to get away, and they find two motorcycles conveniently in an alley, and someone's left them on. And they just jump on and ride them away. Two motorcycles just sitting there, running comfortably, that allows them to get away.
You know what that reminds me of, Charles?
What?
The cover.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
The motorcycles are different colors.
Yeah, so they're riding these motorcycles, and Prowl is chasing them. They're going underground into the subway or a parking structure, I guess. And Prowl doesn't care. Prowl has no fucks left to give. He is just he's driving down the escalator. He's telling everyone get out of the way. He is not worried about anything. And as Jimmy and Spike are driving, they start pulling some crazy moves, and they're like, wait, we're not doing this. We're not actually driving the motorcycles. And as they're going up, they go up to the roof of the parking structure, right into the Decepticons, led by Galvatron. So you've got Galvatron, Blitzwing, Scoop, and Buzzsaw, and Laserbeak. Where are Rumble and Frenzy? I wonder. And of course, at that moment, the bikes shove, knock Spike and Jimmy off of them and transform into Rumble and Frenzy.
And if you notice, the bikes do not have the faction symbol on them, like they do in the cover.
Yeah, because in the comic, it's supposed to be a surprise. So, yeah, so, and one interesting thing here, of course, to note is that in IDW, they are confirming that Rumble is the black and red one, and Frenzy is the blue one. So, you can put all those debates to rest, at least for the IDW universe. So, Galvatron, of course, says, okay, you know, you're going to tell me about the Enigma of Combination before I kill you. Of course, Spike has never heard of the Enigma of Combination.
Meanwhile, RC is coming to, you know, she's, at this moment, she's temporarily working with Prowl to rescue the humans from the Decepticons. And as the all the innocent humans get clear, the Constructicons decide to disassemble the parking structure that the Decepticons are standing on. And in the confusion, Jimmy and Spike try to get away, but of course Prowl is right there and grabs Spike. Meanwhile, RC grabs Jimmy but she's surrounded by the Decepticons on one side and the Constructicons on the other. And so we'll see if, I like how she says, Prowl, I'm going to get you for this. So
you notice how the jetpack changed to match her colors?
Oh yeah.
It was different colored when it was on, Sideswipe.
Yeah, that's true. I like how, Jimmy's last name is Pink. He's Jimmy Pink. And he says, hey, I couldn't help but notice you're Pink. Well, as it happens, my name is. And she's like, shut up. So then we cut to Marissa Fairborn, and she has, of course, everyone in Tokyo has noticed that Transformers are running wild, and Marissa Fairborn is trying to figure out what the response should be. But BlackRock doesn't seem all that upset, and they are taking their transport to his Wanmu facility in China. And, of course, we see that in his facility he has an object there. They don't know that it's the Enigma of Combination, but we all know that because we've seen it before in the previous issues. He figures that the Transformers are all after that, so we're going to go and make sure that this device is secure. So while the Autobots and Decepticons are duking it out there, Marissa Fairborn's trying to get some kind of tactical response to Tokyo before things get out of hand. And so there are a couple of helicopters searching for the other Transformers, and Spike has disappeared into a forest. I don't know where this forest is in the middle of Tokyo. I guess there might be some kind of park in Tokyo. We'll have to ask Andrew about that. But they have gotten into some little wooded area. And you think, okay, here we go. Prowl is going to get his revenge on Spike, but instead, he tells Spike he forgives him. And that's how we end issue number 36. So what'd you guys think?
We have the rare issue to go straight to the next issue. Let's do that. That's what I'm thinking.
I think we should pause at least to take stock of how this issue went.
That's good. What does everybody else think?
I enjoyed it. A lot of action.
I thought it was really good. I particularly liked the scene where Spike makes the Constructicons out in front of the restaurant or whatever, and the image of them transforming mid-transformation is really good. I really like the way it looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like when Brendan Cahill does some pinch hitting on the issues, on all the, like when he did all the scenes outside of Tokyo, I think they look really good. I think Brendan Cahill deserves some more work on Transformers. Not to put anything against Andrew's work as well, because Andrew Griffith has done a great job too. I think they work really well together.
Yeah, they do. Something I really liked about this in the past few issues I've noticed as well is the dialogue is a lot like crisper, funnier. The timing is a lot better than since before Dark Cybertron.
Mm-hmm.
I think we read somewhere that they're using that Marvel method now.
Yeah,
to do it. I wonder if that helps in getting the dialogue a lot, just a lot crisper.
Yeah. I should also mention, I didn't mention this issue was called Onyx Interface Part 2 Versus. And apparently all the Onyx Interface issues are using a Mission of Burma albums of the albums as their titles. I'm not familiar with that band, but that's what the wiki tells me. So yeah, I mean, I thought this was a good issue. It was very action heavy oriented. and leads you right directly into the next one. So let's get into that. So this is Transformers number 37, and this is also written by John Barber with art by Andrew Griffith, so he does the whole issue here. Colors by Josh Perez and Thomas Deere, and letters by Tom B. Long, and edits by Carlos Guzman. So we have another three covers here, where you have the regular cover is by Andrew Griffith and colors by Josh Perez, with RC facing off against Galvatron. The subscription cover is art by Casey Collar and colors by Joanna LaFuente, and that is Thundercracker and Buster sitting in a moonlit scene contemplating. And the retailer incentive cover is Prowl and RC kind of kicking back. Don't know really what they're doing at the moment. And that is artwork by Cottery. Does anyone know who that is?
Nope.
Someone with a rather unique style, and it's not bad.
Yeah. So, Yoshi, which cover piques your interest?
Casey's.
Nice. Daryl, what do you think?
I was kind of torn between Casey's and Andrew's, and I went with Andrew's. It was more of the action-y cover that drove me to it. Nothing against Casey's. I really liked it. It's just, it was more of a stoic kind of image. I went with Andrew's because of the action-y scene it was portraying.
Cool. Jeremy, which cover did you like?
I like the Thundercracker. Can't remember which one was that.
That's Casey's subscription cover.
Yeah. I've always been a Thundercracker fan, and I just love that.
Cool. And I am going with Andrew's regular cover as well. I like that action pose there. I like RC facing off against Galvatron. So I am in agreement with Daryl on that one.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's get into this issue. So we're continuing on directly from the previous issue. I should also mention that the roll call has switched up a little bit, so they've got all three representations of all three factions in their roll call. So at the top, you've got Autobots, in the middle, you've got Decepticons, and at the bottom, you've got humans. So it's a little bit more representative of all the characters in the comic than before you had just Autobots.
Jimmy Pink does not fit in that at all.
Yeah, but the roll call, they're just snatches of other panels. So that makes the art a little bit uneven.
Right.
You know, because
I get that, but it's like that particular art doesn't fit with the rest of the art on the roll call page.
Yeah. So, as we start off with this issue, we have Thundercracker circling around the Bikini Atoll, which is the headquarters of the Earth Defense Command. And the scientist, Dr. Barwani, is talking to Marissa Fairborn remotely about what Thundercracker is doing. And she just says, I don't think he's connected with anything else that's going on in Tokyo. He's just doing his own thing, but make sure you don't let him see what's going on inside the base, where you have the ramjet and thrust clones that are being assembled. Of course, it's a little late for that because we already know that Thundercracker has seen them already, but they don't know that. So that's just a little aside. We cut back to the impending battle between RC, the Constructicons, and Galvatron. And so RC is at first looking like she's going to side with the Constructicons and face off on the Decepticons, but she's like, you know, I'm out. She just grabs Jimmy Pink and uses her jetpack to fly away, and the Constructicons start fighting their old teammates, the Decepticons. But Galvatron also decides to bug out of the battle and uses his leg jet engines to blast off after RC, and also uses his cannon as a little booster rocket. And eagle-eyed readers will remember that from Transformers the movie, when he was made into Galvatron and used his cannon as a way to push himself into the ship. So Galvatron attacks RC. She drops Jimmy Pink. He's okay, folks, though, because Buzzsaw picks him up. So the Decepticons have Jimmy Pink for the moment. We'll get back to that. Hopefully, Jimmy's okay, but we don't know at the moment. But so we follow RC and Galvatron. Galvatron blasts RC into the upper atmosphere. They hit a satellite and have a little battle in space. RC uses her momentum to push Galvatron back, and they do a free fall down back to Earth and land in Australia, where RC, you know, just uses her momentum to knock him into the dirt. So RC got a nice shot on Galvatron, but Galvatron's, he's a little dinged up, but he's still kicking. Not really, doesn't really phase him that much, but at the moment, Galvatron looks to be more amused than ready to have a fight. He actually wants to talk to RC. And we get Onyx Interface. This is part 3, on, off, on. And in the comic, it is misprinted as part 2, but part 2 was last issue. So we're pretty sure this is part 3. So after that, we cut back to Prowl and Spike in the forest having a little conversation. And this is where Prowl lays things out for Spike that at the moment he doesn't necessarily want to kill him. Well, it seems like he still wants to kill him, but he thinks that Spike can lead him to the Enigma of Combination, and so that's why he's willing to make a deal with him. And I like how Prowl kind of explains to Spike that he understands why he did what he did, and Prowl talks about how he feels betrayed now because after the war is over, they made peace with the Decepticons and they let Megatron become an Autobot, and Starscream is now in charge of Cybertron. So, of course, Spike is not happy about that, and Prowl is not happy about it either. And so he also tells Spike that he thinks that Galvatron killed his father. And so that'll give Spike a little bit extra motivation for revenge. And so he convinces Spike that they can work together and find this and use this or recover this Enigma of Combination to get it off of get it off of Earth and away from the Galvatron and the Decepticons. Meanwhile, we cut back to the Marissa Fairborn and Agent Jones and GB Blackrock as they're going to WANMU, the facility that has where the Enigma Combination is. And we get a nice little 2-page spread where Blackrock is showing them their facility, and you see we have the head of Ramjet and the body of Thrust. We also have a mini Constructicon there. According to the wiki, it looks like they've got one of the Sunstreaker clone cars that were way back in from the infiltration days, where the group, the Machination, had kidnapped Sunstreaker and made a bunch of clones out of him and turned him into a headmaster. If you want more information about that, check out the IDW Escalation comics, Infiltration Escalation, for that story. But looks like basically John Barber is flexing his continuity muscles and tying everything together here.
He's got one of those little Megatron guns, too.
Oh, does he?
Look in the middle of the page. There's a... actually, there's like a big gun on the table, but then behind where they're talking, looks like they have like an old Mac and then something else and a Megatron gun.
Oh, yeah. Good catch.
Digital copy.
And they've got a space bridge. That is the space bridge that was used by the Decepticons in Spotlight Bumblebee to transport themselves to Cybertron during the Chaos, which was the story that ended the old ongoing. And in the corner, they've got that little glowing object thingy. Looks really like a Matrix, but it's not the Matrix. It's the Enigma of Combination. So lots of stuff there. And Blackrock goes on to explain that this thing allows, when you're close to it, its radiation allows people to combine their ideas. And I just, I kind of just don't like the idea. Like, this is not unique to Transformers, but the idea that you have, it's a trope that's used in science fiction that there's some ancient alien magic thing that crash landed on Earth, and that's the source of all human civilization. And that's basically what they're saying about the Enigma of Combination here. They're saying BlackRock claims that he's descended from the original Gilgamesh at the start, the dawn of human civilization 6,000 years ago, and that the Enigma of Combination was what allowed his ancestor to create the first human city, and then all civilization sprung from that. And so basically the Transformers are responsible for all of human civilization due to this Enigma of Combination. And I don't know. I mean, I just don't like that plot point, but we'll go with it, but I still don't like it. It's very similar also to the live action 2007 movie where they claim when Megatron was kept in ice for, you know, 50 years or whatever, that he was the source of all their technology by studying him. And that's another version of this trope. Anyway, we move on to RC having a conversation with Galvatron about the Enigma of Combination. And RC says, yeah, G-Axis used to talk about it a lot. So Galvatron says, oh, yeah, G-Axis regarded you as one of his greatest successes. So I like here, again, this is Barber tying up a little bit of continuity. So previously, it was always assumed that RC was the first created female Cybertronian, and G-Axis had created her, and there were never any female Cybertronians before. But Galvatron's dialogue here implies that she was more a G-Axis experimenting and rediscovering this aspect and reintroducing it into Cybertronian. So this goes along with the whole introduction of the 13 Prime, since one of the Primes is female into the IDW universe. And looks like John Barber's tying everything up into a nice little package there. Anyway, so Galvatron is trying to convince RC to work together. And he says that, of course, Prowl's trying to convince Spike to work with him by telling him that Galvatron killed his father. And now Galvatron's telling RC that that Prowl killed Spike's father to convince her that Prowl has gone off the deep end. Of course, he's the one who's lying because Galvatron killed Spike's father. But anyway, he's convincing RC, and so RC decides to work with Galvatron. And that's lucky for Jimmy Pink, because at the moment Jimmy Pink is a guest of the Decepticons, and Buzzsaw is getting annoyed with his 6 degrees of separation game and wants to just destroy him. Luckily, RC and Galvatron show up just at that moment to put a stop to that. And we do get a scene from the other Autobots that are stuck on the Ark behind the moon. We have Cup and Sideswipe and Skylynx just trying to figure out what's going on Earth. And Cup is kind of upset because he thinks RC is a loose cannon. She used to be Prowl's personal assassin, so that doesn't win any prizes in his book. But they don't really know what's going on, so they're just complaining a little bit. And meanwhile, Prowl and the Constructicons and Spike are about to move in on the WANMU operation where BlackRock is keeping the Enigma of Combination. And Prowl gives Spike some of their stealth technology to sneak into the base. Spike sneaks in, finds the Enigma of Combination, lets Prowl know about it, and meanwhile, Cosmos has been monitoring their situation and lets them know that the Decepticons are closing in on their location. So Prowl tells Cosmos to scramble all communication signals, while Prowl tells Spike, okay, thanks for telling me where the Enigma is. Good luck. And Prowl combines into... Prowl tells the Constructicons to combine into Devastator, and their priority is to get the Enigma of Combination, but just for fun, if you see Spike, you can still squash him. So basically, Prowl is going back on his deal with Spike and saying, yeah, thanks for leading us to what we needed. Now we're going to kill you anyway. So things are about to kick off. Devastator's breaking into the facility. Marissa Fairborn and Agent Jones are, of course, understandably upset about this. But BlackRock doesn't seem too concerned. He presses a button, and all the thrust and ramjet clones at the Bikini Atoll activate and start to launch, while Thundercracker looks on. And that is the end. And we have next time, it is going to be World War T. That sounds kind of cheesy. So that is the end of Transformers number 37. Daryl, what'd you think? Enough action for you?
The best part of this one for me was Devastator ripping the hell out of the building at the end. That was, yeah. It was cool the way that all the intrigue was going on and getting Spike into the building and whatnot. That was pretty cool. I was ready for some action by the end of this thing. So the battle between RC and Galvatron was kind of fun, but it wasn't really much of a battle. They kind of hit each other a few times and they started chatting. It's a lot of chatting, a lot of chit chat going on. But a lot of info, big info dump in this one for me.
Yeah. Less talking, more hitting, right?
That's right. Make with the smashing.
Yoshi, what are your thoughts?
I felt like, well, the good thing to say is it's left me wanting more. The bad thing to say is I saw the Spike betrayal a mile away, which kind of makes a lot of the book pointless, because it was just, I'm using this person and then I'm going to dump them as quickly as humanly possible. And that answers your question of me. So move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think the major part of the issue was kind of the exposition, I guess, and getting all the different factions aligned up together.
There's so many scenes, like the scene in BlackRock's laboratory there. That is an awesome page. That is, you want to read everything and you want to take every second and scope out every inch of those two combined pages. You know, the page where BlackRock clicks the button and all those drones come alive. My God, that could have been so more dramatically done, I think. And that was just a wasted opportunity. I mean, I get what they're getting for, but it felt like, I don't think it's really showing the massive scale of what the fuck is just going on as it did the first time Thundercracker saw all the drones did.
That's fair. It was kind of relegated to the last page.
You know, I mean, that there was such potential there to be so awesome, but it was apparently way more important to show how stealth Spike can be. And is Skylynx eating something out of a bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Energon.
That seems corny.
They've shown it before.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, then that's why they did it again, but it just seems corny. I don't know. It came off as predictable to me, but I still want to know what happens next. Cause I'm like, I think those two issues kind of tied up their own loose ends together. So what's happening now? I want to know.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, what were your thoughts?
I thought it started off a little slow. The pacing of the book was definitely not nearly as tight as the last one. I did enjoy it, though, with a lot of the action stuff at the end, but I agree that all of the pacing for the last part of the book, they could have moved things around and had some of the more dialogue-heavy sections kind of interspersed with more of the action. I do like a lot of the continuity stuff that was wrapped up. That was really neat. And like all the pieces that were in BlackRock's lab that he had collected. And it looked like he even had like a couple of the atomic bombs and just not only Cybertronian stuff. He had stuff from human history as well that he was collecting.
Yeah, I liked everything that tied up the continuity I liked, but I still don't like the whole I'm the descendant of the first human hero, and somehow my family maintained this for 6,000 years, and no one...
That was corny.
Yeah.
And like you, I'm not a big fan of the whole magical MacGuffin.
Very Ozymandias.
Yeah.
From Watchmen. Very much so. That's the vibe I'm picking up from him.
But it also solidifies the character trait of BlackRock just being a dick.
Right.
Yeah. I like how he's like, yeah, I was a lonely trillionaire trying to impress women who don't want any money. And they're both like, ew.
And it's like, I don't think you understand the gravity of the situation we're in. I enjoyed the book. It was just, there were a lot more things I could nitpick about it than the last one.
Mm-hmm. I think the art was really good. This was all Andrew, this issue. Everything looked really well done. And the colors, going from, you know, daytime to night scenes, I just thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And that two-page spread was really nice.
Yeah, I mean, the art and the colors, I have really no complaints about. It was more the writing and the pacing.
Yeah. All right, so that is it for Transformers 36 and 37. We did it. We made it through.
Yay!
All right, so that will wrap up comics, and we'll move on to TV show news. All right, so just a little bit. It looks like the Hasbro is getting closer to announcing an air date for Robots in Disguise. So we had two news items kind of circling around it, but still no definite air date. We had speculation as late as May or April or May or even June, but might be even earlier than that. Some people were throwing around March 7th, but it's still not really clear. Hasbro said that, like in a recent event, they said it was coming out in a couple of months, but don't know. This is kind of weird. It reminds me of Transformers Animated, where with Transformers Animated, they premiered the show, and it took like months or even a year before the toys were on the shelves. Now we have the opposite situation where all the toys are out there, but the cartoon has not even been announced yet. It's, you know, it's just coming, and we don't know when it's coming out.
It's probably actually outside of Hasbro's hands at this point and firmly a Cartoon Network decision.
No.
That's what I'm guessing. But 2015, for sure. It, right? Maybe.
I hope so. Yeah, the toys are not really doing it for me, but I'm curious about the cartoon. All right, though, that's all for TV show news. Let's move on to movie news. All right, Jeremy, you have an item for us.
I do. You remember that story we had a while back about the score for Age of Extinction not being released because apparently Paramount didn't want to pay, or whoever does the scores didn't want to pay past whatever limit that soundtracks have?
Right.
Well, you can get the score for free.
Woohoo!
This is the link we have from TFW, and the Paramount has a four-year consideration site that they do for their... it's for like trade publication advertisement, and it's directed towards people voting for the Academy Awards. So while you're thinking that, or you're processing the fact that Paramount actually put together effort to say, hey, this should get some kind of Academy Award, you can click on the score link there, and they have little, you know, just click on any of the tracks and it'll start playing right there with a little flash-based player. And someone on this TFW thread has found that the actual MP3s for each one follows a pretty clear naming convention. So you can just increment the number, like get the URL, increment the number, and download every track. It looks like there are, where was that? 82 tracks total. So that's pretty impressive.
All right. So anyone who missed out on the Age of Extinction soundtrack, or the score, I guess, there you go.
I will be writing a script at work tomorrow.
All right. Well, that's it for movie show news.
Yay.
Let's move on to our trips to the store. And this is where we show off all that cool Transformer stuff we got this week. We would do this as a YouTube video so you can see the stuff we get, and you can head over to YouTube. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. You can check it out on our channel. But we will also put the audio in here, so if you just want to listen, you can. We do this segment on video every week so we can brag about the toys we got. And
and that's the real reason why we do this.
And there's no one who brags more than Daryl, so he gets to go first.
If I recall, Daryl, you set the bar pretty high last week. Are you going to be able to maintain that monolith-like erection, or are we taking a step down?
I don't even remember what I had last week. What?
It's because all the blood fell out of your head.
What the hell did I have last week? It was a long time ago.
I thought you had, like, City Commander or something.
Yeah, I have a couple things. Let's see. My Toys R Us had a pretty decent sale on Transformers, so I took advantage of it. There were a couple figures from the movie line that I'd been eyeing, but I was only going to buy them at a steep discount. So the one thing that I'd been trying to do was finish off the movie Dinobots. So I did, with Voyager-class Grimlock and Voyager-class Slog. So I found them there, and it was basically like 33% off or some shit like that. So, yeah, haven't opened them up yet, but I have all the Dinobots now from the movie. So, yay me.
And, we're all pulling for you.
Daryl, if I can give you a visual representation.
For audio listeners, just be happy you missed it.
It was pretty graphic.
Well, here's one that hopefully you will appreciate, Charles. I got comics.
All right.
So this is RID. I'm still going to call it RID. This is stupid. This is 37, and I got the Galvatron RC cover. And, yeah, this is a pretty decent cover. I like that. So, also, I got the Transformers Timelines. I had to order it from my store. They only brought in like 5 copies, and apparently those flew off the shelf. So I said, look, guys, this is fucking stupid. I'm Cybertronian Beast. Give me a fucking copy of the comic.
Don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am?
It's like, God damn it. Do you not see, you know, my wounds every week from fighting for those RI covers?
I got business cards, damn it. yeah, Transformers Punishment. Seeing as I do not have Windows 8, so I couldn't read it.
Or a modern cell phone.
So I was very happy to be able to pick this thing up in paperback form. So,
now, yeah. Yoshi was only on Windows 8 Madefire app.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you have so to have I'm either right. Yeah, you have to have either a Windows phone or a Windows 8 laptop.
No, I don't even Surface. Think it was on the Windows phone. It was on just Windows 8.
If you guys need me to back up my statement, Daryl, what OS are you running? What version of Windblows do you have on right now?
Windows 7.
Well, hey, I've got good news for you, Daryl. Windows 10 will be a free upgrade for you when it comes out.
I know. Isn't that cool? <I don't care. laughs> So, yeah.
Even in Canada, huh?
Yeah, that's what I got this week. And, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I think I did okay.
Okay, Daryl, we're just going to have you compete against your previous weeks now. And by that standard, you lost.
Oh.
All right, Jeremy, take us on to bigger and better things.
All right. Well, I, again, don't have anything this week.
That's not bigger
anything,
or better.
Anything new. I have some old stuff.
Better not be Voltron.
No. This is something I got at, like, an arcade in California when I was there 1 year visiting some family. And these are knockoffs of Armada Minicons, blown up really big.
Wow.
And if you look on the back, it has some of the other ones. And they are pretty much all Armada Minicons. And I was going through some a box when I was looking for this. And I saw a bag that had a bunch of Minicons in it. And turns out I have the two these are based off of. So if you look, I have
wow,
these two. And
wow, holy.
So I thought it was just hilarious. You take toys that are meant to be tiny and they just blow them up.
It's completely different.
Yeah, I mean they're just completely crap. I haven't even opened them, but I mean I assume that the quality is not going to be good at all. I mean they're you know, complete I don't know, I mean, are they knockoffs or counterfeit or whatever, but I can tell stickers are already coming off and I don't know. Anyway, that's all I got.
All right.
Unless you want my GoBot from last week.
Don't make Yoshi mad. All right, Yoshi, we come to you. What do you have for us?
Well, the first item I have is probably going to set the bar for everybody. And I think Daryl is really just going to be blown away by this because what I did, and I heard about this a while ago, but I called up my my comic book store in Washington State, and I asked them to cancel my Transformers versus G.I. Joe subscription.
Well done.
Thank you.
Boo! Thank you.
So I have now $4 extra a month to spend on something. The guy I was talking to on the phone was like, yeah, everybody's telling me to read this book and I just can't get into it either. Good. I don't like it. And the next is a eBay purchase. It is a Transformers book called The Autobots Secret Weapon.
Oh, cool. I have that.
Do you?
I do. Get it.
Okay. I haven't read it yet. Maybe Daryl's read it, but I just got it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Full page art, very little reading, which might be why Daryl likes it so much.
I can't fucking find it.
Have you read it, Daryl?
Oh, yeah. I read it when I was a kid, man.
Do you remember kind of the gist of it?
No.
I'm not quizzing you. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
No. Mine's beat the shit, though. I read the hell out of it.
Okay. And on the back, it advertises a few other Transformers books. Transformers Sticker Adventures, Transformers Supersized Coloring Book, Transformers Coloring and Activity Books, Transformers Stamp Fun Books, Transformers Big Looker Storybooks. This was just really cheap, and I hit the Buy Now button because I'm that guy.
It looks like it's new. It's not previously used with like someone's name in it and stuff.
I'm glad it's giving you that perception because that is not true at all. It definitely has some usage wear on it, but the wear seems to be just kind of on the spine where the spine just feels weak. Okay. But I mean it's not bad, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Cool.
So what is the Autobot's secret weapon?
Love.
It was about the same time the Care Bears 2 movie came out, and that's pretty much it was about love. Unless Daryl remembers, I just haven't read it yet.
I think they build a like a fake combiner, if I remember.
So it's a Combiner Wars tie-in.
Hey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is the original, yo.
Yeah. I love it how they've got, looks like Hook on the cover, standing in front of Devastator.
Yeah. Yeah, I was noticing that.
So it's accurate to, like, cartoon errors.
Yes. Yeah.
Even with coloring, I've noticed on a couple of pages.
Yeah. Oh, it's cheesy, but it was good for a kid's book.
No, it's just something I can display on my anti-Voltron shelf.
No one's perfect.
With that, I'll throw it over to Charles, who will
hopefully have something super amazing for us.
Maybe. So, I think you guys might be familiar with Hasbro Toy Shop, and normally they don't have great stock. I mean, it's usually like two or three waves behind what you can find in the stores. But thanks to some people on Twitter, so let me just make sure I give a shout out to Robots with Coffee, who actually retweeted a tweet from Foster Stangl at Foster Stangl, who gave me a timely tweet that some stock was in for at the Hasbro Toy Shop, and so I went and made a purchase there. And I will start off with a song, maybe, so you can see what I'm getting.
Give it to me, Big Daddy.
Oh, yes, it's ladies' night, and the feeling's right. Yes, it's ladies' night. Oh, what a night. Oh, what a night. Yes, it's ladies' night, and the feeling's right. Okay, so for everyone who's listening and not watching, I got Generations RC and Chromia.
That is so going on the soundboard.
So, yeah.
Those look awesome.
Yeah, so got my female Autobot collection completed for the moment with Windblade, you know, RC, and Chromia.
You know if this RC is the one with the fixed hands?
I do not know. I have no idea.
I can't remember which one is the fixed, but there was like an open hand versus closed hand thing.
Well, these are open hand, if you can see.
That's a comic.
Up. There you go.
Yeah, I can't remember which version was considered the fixed version. But I just know that there was a difference in the hands between early runs and later runs.
Okay.
Well, I imagine at this point you're probably getting the fixed ones.
I hope so. And that wasn't all I bought from Hasbro Toy Shop.
You brought two of each?
No. You had some shipped to Yoshi?
So I also found they had some Combiner Wars in stock.
Oh, look at that.
And that is Silverbolt, Aerial Bot Leader. And he is nice. All his Superion bits are part of the toy, so there's no extra kibble or anything, which is pretty cool. Transformation.
What I'm shocked with the fact that you opened it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fantasizing about these aerial bots for a while, and you might see some more of these in future trips to the store, and you might see a Combiner making his appearance.
Cool.
So, yep. So that's all I got. Pew, pew, pew.
Well done. I think you win, Charles.
Yay!
Everybody wins.
Yay!
I got a power up. I got a mushroom. I'm a big boy now. All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we will move on with a little bit of convention news. So, first item. Remember that Texas Comic Con last year that took place the same weekend as BotCon?
You mean the one that had Peter Cullen and all the G1 voice actors?
Yes, that is the one.
Bastards.
Go on. Well, they're doing it again in 2015. Their date is not the same as BotCon this year, thankfully. But they do have Peter Cullen again and Frank Welker.
Is this the one we want to go to, guys? I'm thinking this is the one we want to go to.
So both G1, Optimus Prime, and Megatron will be at Texas Comic Con 2015.
They also have Transformers Prime, Optimus Prime, Megatron as well.
Yes, they do. And that is August 7th through 9th at the San Antonio Shrine Auditorium.
That's amazing.
Is this the one we want to go to, guys? I think this is the one we want to go to.
Well, let's see. They have VIP tickets. If you want to do the Peter Cullen only, $200 for 3-day admission, autograph, and pro photo, and a convention exclusive for either Optimus Prime or Megatron, or you can do both for $300.
Is this the one we want to go to, guys? I think this is the one we want to go to.
So, listeners, did you sign up for that Patreon yet? Yeah, I think these guys command a pretty high price.
Right.
But, yeah.
One downside I can see to this whole thing. San Antonio, August 7th through 9th.
Ooh.
I'm a Kansas boy. I'll do it.
Might be a little warm, maybe. I mean,
it's a dry heat. Daryl might, I don't know, he might just die.
Yeah, that sounds pretty hot.
And not in the Paris Hilton good way.
Although it gets pretty humid up here.
Wait a minute. Paris Hilton is your standard for hot?
No, she says that's hot all the time.
Oh, gotcha.
No, I'm not into Paris Hilton.
Lorenzo Lamas is going to be there too.
Who?
Oh, Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Bring your Spawn books.
What, did he do something for Spawn?
Wasn't he the clown?
No, that's John Leguizamo.
Oh, John. Oh.
Lorenzo Lamas was Renegade, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he also
did. I was going to have Samantha Newark, the voice actress for Jim. And she did some Transformers.
Maybe stuff. I want to edit this episode.
She was at BotCon last year. I met her.
Yeah. Has Frank Welker, he hasn't done many conventions, has he?
No, he's not a big convention guy. You don't see him out and about all too often. So that's pretty, it's pretty rare to get him out.
From what I understand, I believe he has a fear of crowds. So to get him out is a big deal.
He and Cullen are both listed as VIP only.
Ah.
Yeah. That's funny. I wonder, wasn't Peter Cullen was at that at convention at the beginning of the year too, wasn't it?
The Sacramento.
Yeah.
Sac Anime.
Yeah, Sac Anime. I wonder if they also charged hefty rates to talk to him or see him there.
I believe one of our listeners went to that. We should, if you went to that and you saw Peter Cullen there, let us know if you had to pay a substantial amount to see him.
Yeah.
On eBay right now, there is a CGC graded 9.8 Transformers number one signed by Peter Cullen for $2,500.
He didn't write or draw or do anything with Transformers number one, though.
You are correct, sir.
Is the CGC, is it certified Peter Cullen?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are those case books that I show off sometimes in the store.
Yeah, I know, but there's different types of CGCs.
Right.
Right?
It's certified him.
The one of them that certifies that it is a legit signature?
Correct.
Yeah.
What's the rating on it?
9.8.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I could take mine, pay at least $200 to get the autograph.
Yeah.
And then turn around and
it would be cheaper to take your own book and have CGC grade it for you and send it back in the mail than to have than to buy that one.
No, yeah, I'm saying like go pay the money to get Peter Cullen to sign it, then pay the money to get it graded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's a six or a seven.
You actually have to have a CGC official with you in line to watch the signature.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know how that process goes. I think you just meet them up at the booth and you say, hey, I'm doing this. But I can't imagine them having that many people to verify. I don't fucking know how they do it.
All right. Next, we have another convention, and this one's in Canada. So I'm going to ask Daryl to tell us about this one.
Okay.
Move over, Charles.
This is Enercon from Manitoba. So in Winnipeg, August 15th and 16th of this year will be the second annual Enercon convention. So, yeah.
There was a first one, apparently.
Last year, yeah. And they had what's his name? The guy who did the voice of Trax there.
Michael McConaughey.
Yeah, him.
Jesus, Charles. Who
I met him at BotCon and got your Trax reissue signed for you, Daryl.
Yes, I know. I just couldn't remember his name.
Okay. So it's not crazy that I would remember that name.
I didn't say anything.
I did.
All right. Sorry, Daryl. Didn't mean to make it seem like I was getting on you. I'm getting on Yoshi.
Enercon sounds a lot like Energon.
I think that's the point. Yeah. Their logo, their logo art is the same font that the Energon TV series used.
Oh.
And Move Over sounds a lot like a cow.
Yeah, it does, Charles.
Yep.
All right.
Moving on.
Okay, that'll do it for the convention news bits we have, and we will move on to some feedback.
I'm not ready for this. I didn't think we were doing feedback today.
It's just a couple.
Well, does that mean I don't have to do my list?
No.
Well, all right then. No, I'm not ready for it today. Hang on 2 seconds.
Yoshi, it's a Sunday. We're recording. You have one job.
Tell me, soundboard. How's that job working out for you? As he frantically looks for a sound that's appropriate for right now.
That's how it sounds.
All right. So first, we have to give a really big thanks, shout out, appreciation to our listener, friend of the show, Mystic Marvels on Twitter, at Mystic Marvels on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He showed us. So a few months ago, he told us he was putting our names on the construction on the building he was doing construction work on. It's a high rise in Toronto.
Yeah.
And he put our names in, but then they blocked it in, so it was not visible. So he went to the roof and put us up on the roof to make sure that everyone could see it. And he sent us some pictures on Twitter. We will put those in the show notes. And he's showing off also his Autobot hard hat, which I love. That's awesome. And thanks for immortalizing us on this Toronto skyscraper. It's awesome.
Seriously, it is.
Thank you.
What other podcast overlooks the Toronto skyline?
None that I'm aware of.
Yep.
So thank you, Mystic Marvels. We really appreciate that. And
you are awesome, sir.
Yes, you are.
Damn right.
Daryl, you met up with him at a con, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to Fan Expo with him.
Yeah.
He totally showed me around because he goes to it every year. And he showed me the ropes because it was my first year. So, yeah, he was a total bro and showed me what I needed to do and got me in and out of some places where I probably would have been stuck for hours fairly quickly.
Cool.
I drew stars around your name, Mystic Marvels.
All right, and next on Facebook, we got a post from Sean Jaffray. He is also known as DJ Ronin. And he wrote, after seeing Mystic Marvels on Twitter immortalize your names on a building as it is being built, I have a question for you all to answer. If you were to come across a Transformers time capsule, what would you hope was inside it? So I'm going to start with our G1 guru, Yoshi. So what would you like to find in a Transformers time capsule?
Oh, fuck. The actual Optimus Prime mold?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would love, I guess, right, like the two things I've been looking on eBay the most lately right now has been like an unopened reflector, which I have never seen, or an unopened Megatron G1. Not that I could afford either of those if they actually exist, but I sure would love to have one.
You bought the time capsule cheap on eBay, so there could be anything you want inside it.
Okay. Then, yeah. I'd be happy with a mold of a G1. I'd be happy with any G1 figure unopened. Make the last G1 figure ever created. Throw it in there unopened. I'd be stoked.
All right. Daryl, what would you like to have?
Oh. Unicron Saga figures. No, I'm kidding. I would probably...
You're out of the podcast.
So I should be. No, I would probably go after, like, Diaclone stuff. something I've never been able to get my hands on because it was just pre-Transformers, but it's what everything kind of came from, so I would probably go after that.
All right. And Jeremy, what would you like to have? What would be your dream to see inside a Transformers time capsule?
Cases and cases of unsold stock from a store that went out of business.
So you want a time bunker?
Yeah, just like, you know, on one of those storage unit shows.
Yeah.
What do you want, Charles?
So I would like to see, I guess we talked about on the show, I guess the G1 Dinobot molds were destroyed. So if those were inside a time capsule, that would be awesome. I would also like to see, other than, you know, rare actual Transformers, I'd like to see like all the merchandise that, you know, in the mid 80s when Transformers were just super popular and all the licensed merchandise that was created for them. I'd like to see a sampling of all the weird items. Like if you remember that when we looked at that Back to the 80s, or what was it? The site that had the 80s bedrooms.
Yeah.
From the movie scenes that had all the different merchandise. Had, like,
the clock and everything.
Yeah. I would like to see like some really weird Transformers items that came out of that era in pristine condition. So I thought that would be cool.
That would be cool. You got the walkie talkies. You got the voice changers. You got the, what is it? Those punching bags, sheets.
Yeah.
Toothbrushes.
Yep.
Radio. Other stuff.
Everything Transformers.
Everything Transformers.
Just like our podcast.
That's right.
All right. Next, Daryl, you have a question from a listener for the podcast.
Yeah, it came to me via Google Talk from a person named Metroplex Smash. So he says, I think the podcast is really good, but what did you think of the TF Rise of the Dark Spark and all Transformers games? Well, I've played them all. Have you guys played all the Transformers games?
I have not played Rise of the Dark Spark.
Yeah, I haven't played that, and then like some PlayStation games I haven't played.
I didn't know you played Transformers Angry Birds, Daryl.
That doesn't count.
No, it does.
Just because it wasn't released on BlackBerry doesn't mean it doesn't count.
Have you played it?
Yeah.
It doesn't count to me. Oh. It is not a real game.
How about Mystery of Convoy?
I've played it.
That's a terrible game.
It is a hard game.
Yeah.
What about Transformers Monopoly?
That is not a... I guess he didn't specify video games.
Yeah, I've played a different version of Transformers Monopoly.
Transformers Risk?
It was just called Monopoly.
All right. So he just needs to be aware that you haven't played everything.
No. I mean, I think it's pretty much most fans are in agreement that War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron are like the pinnacle of Transformers games. With Fall of Cybertron really being the best of the best. Rise of the Dark Spark is a horrendous game. It tries to take the aspects from Fall of Cybertron and you know, use them, but it doesn't really do as well. There are some times in the game where you're like, oh, well, this kind of has the same look and feel, but it really doesn't meet the mark. There really isn't another good game out there. I remember playing the Beast Wars game back in the day. I remember playing the Armada game back in the day. I never bought them. I never owned them. I never liked the Beast Wars games, not surprising, because I didn't like the Beast Wars show. But and the Armada game, I don't remember getting too into. I remember having to rent it, so I never got into it too far. The other ones, the new ones, those are the good ones.
I've heard good things about the Beast Wars game. I've never played it, but
the problem being is I would be comparing it to the games that are coming out now, and and it's not fair. So I don't want to play it anymore. I'm done with it. I'm gonna let it go because it's just it wouldn't be a fair comparison to play it now with the stuff that's come out now.
Yeah, War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron were both good. Fall of Cybertron, I think, was excellent.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Beast Wars PlayStation game that was a fighting game?
No, there was a
third-person adventure type.
Oh, okay. I haven't played that one, but I've played... There was a Beast Wars game that was a fighting game where like you could be all the different characters, Maximals and Predacons, and it was like a 2.5D fighter. I think I had that one. I don't know if I still have it on PlayStation. Yeah, I mean, but I agree with you guys. Generally, Transformers games have been lackluster over the 30 years. The War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron were really the best entries of the lot.
Mm-hmm. Like, I even remember trying some of the movie games. And I mean, a movie game is always terrible, regardless of the franchise. But I do recall trying the first movie game and the second movie game. And they were bad. Rise of the Dark Spark is the newest game. That is a true statement, but it is not the best game.
It was a movie. It was a cash in for Age of Extinction, and
that's right.
It was disappointing because people really were really happy with what High Moon Studios did with the two Fall and Wars for Cybertron games, and the studio was shut down. So we don't really even have a chance of getting a third entry in that series.
Yeah. There's rumors that pop up every now and then that some of the guys that were involved in there might try and get back together and get the license back to do a third one. But yeah. It's just rumors.
All right. So that's it for feedback this week. I know we've probably got a lot of feedback on the website, but since we recorded this episode a little bit in advance, we haven't seen it yet. So this is... from the past, so we only have a little bit of feedback, but don't worry, we will definitely get to more feedback in the next episode, so don't get upset. All right, so I think we'll end the episode here, and I want to remind everyone that we are on iTunes and Stitcher, and we always are looking for positive ratings, positive feedback. So if you like the show and like what we're doing, please give us some ratings there. That helps raise our visibility and our profile on iTunes and Stitcher. Of course, you can always give us feedback on our website. You can leave comments on every episode post. You can also talk to us on Facebook and Twitter and all the social media places. Also on YouTube, if you watch our Trips to the Store videos on YouTube, you can leave comments there. Don't forget, we are still pushing our petition to try and get the G1 cartoon redone as an IDW comic. If you have not signed it yet, please consider signing it and consider telling all your friends about it and signing it as well. We really think it would be an awesome addition to IDW's catalog of comics, and we're hoping to make that possible. And lastly, don't forget that we have just started our Patreon campaign, so... if you are looking for more ways to help out the show and help out the podcast, feel free to give us help monetarily. We will not turn that away. So thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for picking up our transmission. Give us feedback on our website at www.transmissionspodcast.com, where you can find all of our contact info on social media and links to all of our show notes discussed in each episode. You can also email us directly at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com.